Just about 20 years ago to the day, my wife Yvonne took me shopping for my birthday. My present? A window-mounted air conditioning unit that I promptly disassembled on the lawn so that I could chill my gaming CPU to sub-zero temperatures. She a keeper or what? Anyway, it's my birthday again, and this time, I decided to spend a little more on my air conditioner.
How much?
30.
Oh, that's actually...
1,000.
What?! We already have numerous exotic coolers, including an industrial water chiller right there. Why did you spend $30,000 on this one?
Because seeing this unique item, hand-built by overclocking legend Charles Fuggerworth, is what inspired me to learn about sub-zero cooling in the first place, which is what led to my PC tuning obsession, which is what led to me standing here today. And you know what the craziest part is? His price for this thing, like literally, the one that inspired me. Isn't even unfair. While most chillers use a single compressor and refrigerant, this is a cascade system and uses a total of 3 compressors, not to mention unobtainium gases, to reach ungodly low temperatures. This very unit has been used to set countless performance records over the years, including live on stage at Intel launch events. And it comes with an extra special perk. Hand delivery from the man himself, Charles, who flew up here to help me unbox it, verify that it works, and talk me through what makes his creation arguably the greatest CPU cooler on the planet.
You got my money, right?
No. But you know who does? Our sponsor.
I can pick some muscle to push on the screwdriver to strip them out.
Are you saying you don't think I have muscle?
Yeah.
What is it with everyone who's a guest on this channel? And they just immediately open with the sick burns. Next, are you going to ask me if I can reach all the way up there?
I should get you a little stool.
You're not even that much taller than me! I am so excited. I haven't even seen a picture of this thing since back when I was, like, browsing Extreme Systems. Now, I dreamed back then of commissioning you one day to build something like this for me. And I remember you did a handful of commissioned builds, if yes. I recall correctly. But, like, really a handful. How many of these have you actually built?
22 stages. This is the only 3 stages I built.
So you're saying this is a completely unique item, then?
Correct. Only a very few of these have been attempted in the world.
And what is the difference, just for the uninitiated, between a 2-stage and a 3-stage?
Well, most of the 2-stages never really achieved 100 below zero Celsius. And as far as this one achieves 100 below zero, actually it exceeds 100 below zero.
I mean, architecturally, 2-stages versus 3-stages, what's the difference in the level of complexity, having 2 compressors, one kind of cooling the first, versus having 3, one cooling the next one, cooling the next one?
The guesstimates getting the third stage gas, well, the obtainium of the third stage gas, first of all. You can get like the Polycold or the Revco units and, you know, try to work with one of those 3-stage gases, but you won't have the capacity. You'll have to buy several of them or have to supplement the third stage gas, and you won't have the capacity.
So if I wanted to build like a sperm storage unit or something like that, I could get like a nice low temperature or
freezer,
something.
Yeah.
Right, but if I want to cool something that is actively kicking out 500,
watt.
600 watts of heat.
Correct.
I need this.
Correct, yes.
This is the only one.
Right.
I gotta tell you, I didn't realize how heavy it was.
Yeah.
Before we started, I gave it the old, okay, it couldn't be that. It's really freaking heavy. Literally, it's this or a vehicle. Everything about this thing screams hand-built in the best possible way.
When I originally built this, I didn't have very much refrigeration experience, so I built all of my lines as the crow flies. Over many, many, many years, I perfected everything as I went.
Now, you said that others have attempted 3 phases.
Yes.
Has anyone succeeded that you know of?
No, not with the balance. I've seen some other attempts, but I've never actually seen it in use.
I'll get ready to catch it.
Don't drop it on me, hey?
All right, I'll hold it.
Thanks.
You can hold 350 pounds, right?
Oh, yeah. This is light work.
I couldn't help noticing, Charles, that my brand new purchase has some dust and rust on it.
No, it doesn't.
How old did you say this thing was?
25 years, 26 years.
So she's been around the block.
Been around the world. Twice. Three times now.
How would you rate this packing foam, Linus?
0 out of 10.
Well, let's hope I got here in one shape.
That's fine. When
you made it here.
When it's crate chipped like this, realistically, that's not doing anything. It's just sitting on top of it.
I'm just having fun.
At work?
I know, I'm sorry. Sorry, sir.
That's better.
I'm waiting for the camera to stop rolling. Keep it rolling. Stop it. Can't hit me while it's rolling.
Sorry, how many power cords?
3.
How much power does this thing draw?
45 amps at max.
Over 5,000 watts?
Could be.
What do you mean could be?
So why does it need to draw 5,000 watts when it's only cooling 500 watts?
Yeah. Professor, explain
overkill.
That.
I didn't want to undershoot.
Okay.
Okay, but in all seriousness, there are efficiency losses.
Yes.
Especially as we make our way through multiple stages. So, like, our main stage, our biggest one that cools the second, that in turn cools the third, has to be absolutely enormous, monstrous overkill, from my understanding then. Well, here, let's get it up on the table, and then maybe you can walk us through where all the gases flow.
Okay.
In order to make it work its magic. Here. I just want to get this under it so maybe we can get some fingers under it so we can maybe lift it.
Oh, God. I don't want to get fingers under
that. Oh, wow. You really don't, because Charles, in his infinite wisdom, built it with sharp corners.
It's designed that way so you get a nice clean cut.
Right.
If it's a poor cut, it's hard to attach again.
You want to take it off right at the segment.
No, it's just for this. The stitches go clean.
Are we doing okay?
Yep. You're doing great.
Let's get Linus's end on first.
Uh-huh.
Because he's by himself.
Yep. I'm good.
You're good?
Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm good.
Okay, put your corner down.
Okay.
And then my fingers are now being squished, but that is okay.
Do you need help?
I...
What?
My fingers were stuck. It's good.
Okay, they're still... I'm glad you're here to tell me how it works. I found the 3 compressors, and I found the cold end that goes on the CPU. Okay. I found what looks like a K-probe or something
that's
like that.
That's a K-probe.
Perfect. So that's going to tell us what the temperature is at our evap head. I'm going to need you to kind of walk me through it. So where's our first stage?
This is our first stage compressor. This is a Danfoss SC12 MLX, low temp compressor. It's basically a half horse compressor. So basically this is for sub-zero temperatures. And it has R507 in it. It's a common gas that you can use for refrigeration. So this gets about 40 below zero.
Okay.
And it runs into our heat exchanger back here, which is a Litron brace plate heat exchanger, 40 plate.
Okay, so then normally, right, you would have, your condenser side, which is where you have your fans and your, aluminum fins or whatever, mm-hmm. right? And then you would have your evaporator side, which would, in the case of like an air conditioner, more aluminum fins and a fan that blows the cold air into the room
right.
for you to enjoy. Or in the case of a refrigerant-based CPU cooler, it would go to the evaporator head, which would go to your CPU. But we're not doing that.
No.
Because this is a multi-stage, we're taking our cold side, our evaporator side, and we're going to a heat exchanger. So then that means this inside here is the cold side of stage 1
right.
and the hot side of stage 2.
Right.
So that refrigerant, which for stage 2 starts at negative 40 C
right.
on the hot side. Okay, where does that go?
Well, the hot side goes into it's called a de-superheater first before it even goes into the heat exchanger. So I'm actually stripping off the heat before it goes into the heat exchanger.
Oh, to make it easier for our first stage to cool it.
Condense, correct.
God.
I'm bringing it down to ambient.
So we pre-cool it.
Correct.
Brilliant. So where does it go from there?
It actually goes into the expansion valve,
okay.
and it goes into the second stage compressor. There's an expansion valve on this side. This is a pressure expansion valve.
Yeah.
And it's has a little knob on the side over here that you can adjust. And
oh, I won't.
No, you don't have to. It's already preset.
Oh, good. And then I don't see another heat exchanger.
Oh, it's all built. It's all inside of here.
Oh, so you're telling me then that we actually have 2 heat exchangers in here.
Correct.
One that is using the first stage to chill the hot side of the second stage to minus 40.
Correct.
And then one that's using the cold side of the second stage, minus 80, you said?
Yes.
To cool the hot side of the third stage?
Yes.
Which is at minus 80 Celsius. Now this, my understanding goes, is where kind of the black magic and the tuning and the unobtainium gases really come into play.
Correct. Condensing the third stage gas.
Okay. So I did notice that our third stage compressor, which is this guy over here, looks a little gruntier.
Is no, that... it's exactly the same. They're all the same compressor.
Wait, it looks bigger.
No, it's all the exact same.
Okay. I need to use whatever trick it's using with my wife. I did notice there are a few components that we haven't talked about much.
Okay.
We didn't mention the oil separators.
Correct.
What's their role in this system?
To keep the oil separated from the system, because we're working at temperatures that are sub-zero, and when you get this, the oil inside the lines, it can cause flogging, and that'll cause the system to fail. And you don't want the system to fail.
No, I don't.
One of the major problems that I had with my Cascade was system volume. And one of the early things I did with to create system volume was I pigtailed my line trying to think that I was adding volume to my system by adding...
making them a helix. Kind of like you do on the traces of a PCB to make sure that, you know, all the traces to the memory slots are the same length, for instance.
Right, but I was trying to add volume to the system by adding more length to the thing, but I wasn't very knowledgeable at the time. But in time, I realized I could get suction accumulators and add more volume to the system. And so what these do is...
Oh.
These are like right before the line set, and they add more volume to the system.
Okay, so, these are just a giant reservoir, essentially,
exactly.
Of refrigerant gas.
Correct.
Wrap my brain around this one, and this time I don't actually know the answer before I'm asking you. How does having a large volume of the gas that isn't actively participating in being cooled, as far as I can tell, it's not insulated... How does that help us?
Boy, oh boy, oh boy. I don't know how to explain this that you guys can understand it.
Ooh. Damn!
I always had capacity issues, and I always had to add more gas to the system. And I had a problem with adding more gas and then having the pressures on the system too high. So in order for me to add more gas and not have the pressures too high, I had to add more had to increase the volume. And so by adding the suction accumulator, solved that problem.
So it's almost like buffering you against pressure volatility in a sense. Like what is it, what role is it playing?
More
then?
Gas. I need more gas to go to the block.
Okay, but if the gas isn't actively
more being... liquid, I need more liquid to go to the block.
So it gives you just more fluid.
Yes.
Overall, because liquid is so much denser than gas. But then when you weren't running it, the pressure would be astronomical because it's all in its gaseous form.
Right. Well, I had to put more gas in the system and the pressure would go up higher. And then I can't run into a...
Understood. So this just gives us enough. So realistically, when we're running, this is not high density gas storage at that time.
No.
Because so much of it is in liquid form. But this gives it somewhere to go.
Yes, when it's
turned
off.
All becomes gas.
Right.
Okay, I think we got it.
Yes.
See, I could understand that.
Yeah. Great explanation.
There is one thing we missed.
Yes.
Do I need to be paying attention to these? Like, if these go to the red line, do I freak out and pull all the plugs out?
No. These just let me know, if the second stage and the first stage are running. So if my pressures go up, I can pull the plugs. Basically, when we shipped it, I could, when you took the picture, I can know if the gas has leaked or not. Mm. In the future, I can always, we can mark the pressures right now, and a year from now, we can see if we lose some pressure and we can, charge the system.
Right, but not the third stage. I mean, do you have a bottle of the third stage?
No.
No. It's kind of making it sound like there's a bit of a, fire up. Procedure for this.
Correct. There is a procedure for firing up.
Can we do it?
You want to fire it up?
I mean, yeah.
Okay. Do we pull some cords? We can fire it up. All right. So this is going to take about 10 minutes to come down.
Well, are these labeled?
No. I just no. But we'll label them before we go.
What should I be monitoring here? I mean, obviously, I can see some of my fluid flowing through here. Am I looking at pressures? How do I know when it's down to temperature?
Okay, so right now, we just got to wait a few minutes, and we're going to watch for some ice buildup on the first stage. The ice will build up right here on the backside of the suction line.
Okay.
And so once we get a little bit of ice built up on there, we can fire up the second stage compressor. And we watch for the same thing on the second stage compressor. We watch for a little bit of ice building up on the back of the second stage compressor.
Now, riddle me this. If someone were to irresponsibly fire the second stage compressor when we are not cooling the first stage, what happens?
I don't know. Never done that.
Neat. Now, let's say I don't like learning things the hard way.
Right.
Where are the do not touch, no touchy places?
This would be one of them.
Oh, there's a thing that was burned on there.
Yes. This would also be one of them.
Yes.
And this would also be one of them.
Okay.
That's the only three spots that are danger zones.
Oh, look at that. Hey, we're frosting. Now, should I care about that at all? Like it'll drip and rust?
No. Once I fire up the second stage, that'll evaporate.
And I assume the second stage is the middle one?
Yep.
Good assumption. All right.
Go for it.
Okay. It's a little bit not quite straight, but hey. Aren't we all? Okay.
So when I plug in this third stage, this one's going to drop.
Yeah.
And then about 15 or 20 seconds later, this is going to start to drop.
Oh, the temperature at the evap head for the third stage. And this is where we cool our CPU. Okay.
There we go.
Big moment. Here we go. It's not that flat, Charles.
What do you mean?
I just mean, you know, the quality of the work.
It's perfectly flat.
The quality of the workmanship is just, you know, it's...
Sub-zero?
In all seriousness, when you have this level of cold up against the CPU, the macro flatness of the surface does still matter. You don't want like a big bump coming out of it that's giving you bad contact, but little pockmarks like that, they don't actually matter that much.
You might want to resurface it.
Oh, whoa, she's really going now.
So it'll stop around negative 90 until we put a load on it.
Negative 90. So you're saying it goes lower when we put a load on it?
Yeah, this is a thermal expansion valve on this side here. The more load we put on it, the more it'll open the valve.
You're at negative 69,
whoa,
baby.
Whoa, buddy. It started sublimating. So you're saying if I licked it, that would be bad?
Your tongue would stick to it instantly.
Oh, that's so tempting.
You'd be going to the hospital. Where are we at? Negative 90?
Negative 83.
Oh, we've still got ways to go.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay, so we would wait until she's completely down to negative 90 before we put a load on her?
We don't have to.
Doesn't matter. It will just expansion valve and then...
Yeah.
Wow.
Woo! It's snowing, boys!
So when this is bolted to the CPU and the CPU is put under full load, this will drop about 1 or 2 degrees, maybe even 3 degrees.
And another critical thing that is so cool about this system is that it won't go up. So our temperature stability compared to basically any other solution is unheard of. Like even when you're dealing with liquid nitrogen, for instance, one of the big hassles of overclocking with LN2 is that you are constantly micromanaging the liquid nitrogen in your pots because you don't actually want your CPU necessarily at negative 150 degrees. That can be problematic. You can run into cold bugs, so you gotta bring it up in order to boot. You gotta put it back down when it's time to do your run. With this system, we're just
exact
at minus 90 all the time. Idle, load, doesn't matter. No bullshit, no micromanagement.
One thing I have to don't have to deal with is crashing a lot. So once we're stable, we're good to go for a full bench session. We can bench for 16 hours straight and like crash once or twice.
Okay. Now, it's going to be a separate video, but can we tease them a little bit? Can you show us one of these golden chips, which have been rumored for many years to exist? It's been rumored that reviewers get golden samples hand-selected by Intel. That's bullshit. We don't. He does. Can I see one?
Sure, sure.
Well, it looks like any other 1400KS. How do you know it's special?
It's probably been like one of...
Some number.
Now, when you have a chip of this quality, I don't think it's a big secret that Intel has had some degradation challenges with their 13th and 14th gen silicon. Do you kind of do the early testing with your sacrificial lambs and then save your best chip
Yes.
for like when it's time to break the record?
Yes.
Okay. I guess my only last question then is, why on earth are you selling this?
I'm going to build another. I already started.
Oh, so actually I'm kind of funding V2 then, in a way. Are you using the proceeds to to fund the next one?
Yes.
All right. Is the second one going to be so much better that I'm going to feel like I need a new one?
You're going to have to tell me because it's going to be yours.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I'm building you a second one. I know I haven't told you yet, but I had to break it to you somehow.
You are? Do you know about this?
No.
Does anybody know about this? Really?
Oh, we're building you a second one.
When was this decided?
I thought we were building you a second one.
Yeah.
Oh, not a three stage, though.
Ah, okay.
No, what?
We'll build you a single stage, I guess.
What?
It just needs another $30,000.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, no, but what?
No, I'm sorry. I'll be right back.
Hold on, what's the plan?
We'll just build you a single stage.
Oh, we're talking about that. Right.
Yes.
A custom single stage.
Okay.
An exotic single stage.
No, we actually have a couple more things coming. So this is setting up a whole series with Charles. We're doing the unboxing here. Part two, we're going to set some world records. Part three, I'm going to do an everyday Sub-Zero CPU and GPU build for home. That's what you're talking about.
Yeah, and plus I'm gonna build another three stage myself.
For yourself.
Most likely I'm gonna build a two stage.
I'm happy to be part of the journey no matter what you build next, because I just love seeing enthusiasts go out of their comfort zone and just do cool shit like this. It has been such a pleasure to have you here, and it's gonna be such a pleasure to continue to have you here as we work our way through all the incredible Sub-Zero adventures we have planned.
Well, thank you for helping me on my journey, and your proceeds will definitely go towards another build, and I'll make sure it's better than this one.
And you know what else is going to be better than this one? Some future segue to our sponsor. If you guys enjoyed this video, why not check out the first time that I got to play around with refrigerant cooling with the LDPCV10, I think it was, from Little Devil. It was a PC case that had a single stage CPU cooler built into the basement of it. It was woefully impractical, but very cool.